Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, a mother who killed her three children is seeking permission to bring a legal challenge over a coroner's decision on the medical evidence to be heard at their inquests. In 2021, paediatric nurse Deirdre Morley was found not guilty by reason of insanity of murdering her three children, Connor, Dara and Carla, at their family home in Newcastle, County Dublin, on January 24th, 2020. Andrew McGinley, their father, joins me now here in studio. Andrew, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder, and thank you for coming in to us here. You support Deirdre in her decision to take that judicial review. Why?
The judicial review being brought by the legal counsel for Deirdre Morley is based on the points that me and my legal counsel raised with the coroner already. So we've already made that submission to the coroner, and she made a decision to limit the scope of the inquests of Conor, Darren and Carla. I fully support the judicial review. I would join in with that judicial review, but there's a significant six-figure cost to that. So unfortunately, I can't, but I fully support that the scope of Carla, Connor and Dara's inquests should be unlimited.
What is the purpose of the inquest? Can you explain that for our listeners who perhaps aren't up to date with what an inquest sets out to achieve?
Primarily, it looks at the cause of death. However, there's enunciations from the Supreme Court that would dictate that an inquest can look at contributory factors to a death that can enhance medical knowledge or prevent further deaths. And I would feel that there's multiple, even though some of them are minor, that there's multiple contributory factors prior to the deaths of Conor, Darren and Carla that, had they been different, had different decisions been made, then Connor, Darren, Carla will be alive today.
So it's not about sort of establishing blame or exonerating individuals. As you say, it's more sort of an establishment of fact, as you say, the cause of death of the children and whether or not there were other contributory factors that perhaps could have been addressed or addressed going forward to ensure that that doesn't happen again.
Well, for me, I know all the names of every clinician and doctor who were involved. For me, the inquest should look at the actual processes and procedures and the decisions themselves, regardless of who made them. Had a decision been different, I mean, I can give you an example. Decisions were made about Conor, Darren, Carla and me without our consent or without our knowledge. That's not right. There wouldn't be anybody listening to this who would feel comfortable with somebody else making decisions about their lives. In fact, I think there was a TV commercial where there's a couple looking to book holiday and the guy comes in over their shoulder looking to send them to the Arctic. You wouldn't allow that to happen in your normal everyday life. So why should clinicians be given, I don't want to call it the power, but to make decisions about children who aren't theirs, about me and my life without my consent or without my knowledge?
Now, the coroner has argued, look, that there is going to be medical evidence heard at this, that there are going to be psychiatrists who were involved in the criminal trial being called to give evidence, and they have been asked to issue fresh reports to the inquest, which will be considered at the time.
I've already raised concerns about the reports that were used at the criminal trial with the Office of the DPP and with the Department of Justice.
So they don't satisfy you?
Not at all. And that's after speaking to forensic psychiatrists of a higher or equal standing who practice outside of this jurisdiction.
How difficult is it for you, Andrew? You've had the investigation, the Gardaí's investigation. Then there was the criminal case, which we spoke about there, that led to the not guilty by reason of insanity verdict to the inquest. Now that you're obviously not satisfied with how that is being carried out, how frustrating is all of that for you as the father of the three kids here?
There's a lot of times where I think that I would love to just liquidate everything, head off and work in a beach bar in the Caribbean. But I don't think I could live with myself if I didn't try and make changes that would help protect children in the future, that would improve patient safety, patient diagnosis, that would help people like myself. I mean, I spent a good hour on the phone this morning with James Healy, the father of Matthew Healy, whose life was taken last year. I couldn't live with myself. So what I do now, there's no personal gain, but I would love to see something positive come out of Conor, Dara and Carla's inquests. And I fear that it won't, with the current scope of their inquest. I've tried to gain political support and other support, but it's a complicated subject, mental health. But it isn't going to get easier if we don't talk about it, we don't examine it, and we don't learn from what I see as mistakes or errors or wrong decisions.
I mean, you have been campaigning for years now around the issue of confidentiality. And you've said that in instances like yours, where there are concerns, that that patient confidentiality should be breached to inform the next of kin, to inform, as in your case, the father of the three children, of any warning signs. And yet there haven't been any moves in that direction. I think, notwithstanding your campaigning, the decision has been made that patient confidentiality supersedes everything.
I agree totally with patient confidentiality. However, no decision should have been made about Conor, Dara and Carla without my consent as a co-parent. They were my children too. And they were leaving decisions about Conor, Dara and Carla to a patient that they were treating with, by its very nature, mind-altering pharmaceuticals. I'm not anti-pharmaceutical. If I'm told this tablet will cure what I have, I'll take the tablet. But I don't think you can rely on the mind of a patient that you're trying to treat for a mental health illness if you're treating that patient with a mind-altering pharmaceutical, no matter how minute the alteration is. It's just a process. There's a Finnish model. At the moment in Finland, as soon as somebody presents for mental health treatment and there are children in the relationship, the children are protected. They're automatically ring-fenced. So the care parent or the co-parent is fully informed, fully advised and fully supported. I've received nothing. Like, there's no support. All I got after Conor, Dara and Carla died was three leaflets from the Garda liaison for three charities that would help me. And yet there was a familicide report that was issued in the summer of 2024. And if you read it, you'd swear to God that we were spoilt. It was, state bodies and state agencies and others saying, oh, we do this and we do that and we do the other. It doesn't happen. Nothing. The one part that really infuriated me was there was an emergency response team apparently that set up, HSE-led. And within the first 24 hours, they reach out to the family to help and support and advise. Only people I spoke to in the first 24 hours were my own family and the Gardaí. The next milestone is the first week. First week, it was my family, the Gardaí and the undertaker. I mean, if you read that report, you would just think, yeah, sure, we have this covered off, we've it boxed off. But I guarantee you, most of those processes and procedures are printed off and are sitting in folders on people's office shelves, and that's it. It doesn't translate to the front line. So that report by Maura Butler, for me, it should have been done in reverse. She should have approached all the agencies and say, what do you do for these people? And then reached out to the likes of myself and Kathleen Chardo and Una Butler and John Whelan and say, did this happen? And I guarantee you, most of it would have been big red X's. No, it didn't happen.
They would all agree with you?
Oh, yeah, I've spoken to them all. Myself and Kathleen Charter are quite good friends. I speak to Una Butler on a regular basis. As I said, I spoke to James Healy this morning. That's the only support you get is from other people who have been through similar. There's nothing.
And yet, we all remember that January day back in 2020. I remember that story emerging. I remember the outpouring of grief. I remember the national conversations around what had happened to you and your children and the promises that people like you would be supported during this awful experience that clearly endures for you, Andrew.
You get absolutely, there's nothing. And to be facing into the inquests and to be challenged, the scope of my children's inquest to be challenged by the HSE and Olivia Gibbons from St Patrick's Mental Health Service, and indeed by St Patrick's themselves, for them to be deemed to be interested parties, that's their title, they're given the status of interested parties at the inquest. You can read through every single medical note for the past, since 2018. Not one of them expressed any iota of an interest in Connor, Dara and Carla when they were alive. Yet after they were murdered, all of a sudden they're interested parties.
Well, I don't want to comment, I suppose, and I'm sure you don't either, on any of the parties involved in this case, because they are not here in the studio with us, and there are legal reasons why I suppose they would be considered interested parties in this particular inquest. As you say, you are not, and you can't be part of this judicial review, Andrew, because of the cost implications of all of that. Have you considered doing anything to try and perhaps fundraise to be part of that?
No,
or is that something you're really against?
No, this shouldn't be a cost. If something is wrong with a process, a state process, the coroner's court is a state process, it's up to the state to rectify it. I mean, there's a child death review in the programme for government for 2025. It's been something that was asked for by the Ombudsman for Children. I think it was Dr. Ursula Kilkelly first raised it back in 2007, if I'll stand corrected on that. And it's been championed by the Ombudsman for Children, a child death review, that each child death would be reviewed thoroughly, all contributory factors analysed and looked at. It's in the programme for government for 2025. Is it going to get through in that before the end of the year? Probably not. That should have been in place a year or 2 years after it was first called for back in 2007. I mean, this should already, Connor, Darren, Carla's deaths and any contributory factors should already have been through that process and come out the other side. And then if changes were needed, I mean, there's baby Henry Coleman. His inquest was last year. And it was the same thing, that it was found at the inquest that his mother was saying that she didn't feel safe or didn't want to be with Henry. Has anything changed? I doubt it. I haven't seen anything where the HSE have come out saying we have changed the policy based on this.
How are you doing now personally, Andrew? It is coming up to Christmas, of course, and then coming back up to their anniversary again in January, 6 years now. That has to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is stand at your kid's grave. Yeah, it's a tough time of year.
How do you try and mark that now?
I kind of don't. I didn't want to do anything around their birthdays. I know, like, I've seen people up in the graveyard with birthday cakes and stuff like that for their own loved ones. I didn't want to kind of do that. I like to focus on the positive things I do, the projects that I do in memory of Conor, Darren and Carla. And whilst I'm here, we're with the Yes Dara Did charity, apologies to beneficiaries of the charity. We're trying to process all the banking details, etc. So apologies for the delay in getting the payments processed. But we've helped. At the end of this funding round, we'll have helped over 300 beneficiary projects all across the country to help people get involved in their local community. And that's a massive positive. I plan another project next year that I hope will do something in memory of Connor, Darren, Carla. So I focus on the positive things. I want to live a long, fruitful, healthy, long life celebrating they're short lives, to be honest with you.
And it's funny looking at you there, Andrew, when you talk about those projects. Actually, when you look ahead to next year and you talk about the children in that sense, as opposed to what happened, I can see you're smiling there when you think of that. That's a positive for you.
It is, it is. And it sort of conflicts with the... I have an awful lot of anger as well. I'm not an angry person. I was never an angry person. The kids never saw me angry, and I know they wouldn't want me to be angry. But Christ, I'm angry.
You seem angry. And you seem frustrated.
Well, it is. I have a meeting coming up now in on Thursday, which I'm hoping will be that I will gain some support from that, from somebody who would be influential. I'm very hopeful of the meeting. I'll be disappointed if nothing good comes out of that meeting. I'll keep knocking on doors. And hopefully change will come about. It is largely, I can see where the gaps are, where there's children at risk. And I remember sent an email to the office of Roderick O'Gorman when he was Minister for Children, saying that there was a risk to children. And I got an email back from his office saying that that wasn't appropriate to his office. And I wrote back, a risk to children isn't appropriate to the Minister for Children. So I'll keep banging on doors, and if I get nonsensical replies like that, then I'll air them on stations like this or in the press. Because people have to know, I think, how crap the system is, how crap the support is. There's nothing, do you know? And statistically, I think it's about 2 children a year die at the hands of a parent in a familicide event. If we could save 2 lives, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be fantastic?
Andrew McGinley, thank you for coming to us on The Hard Shoulder.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.